July 11th, 2023. We have four of our commission members, and just as a point of order for our audience, for anything to pass this evening, it will require a vote of three, which I guess is a majority for this group, but just as a quorum, that's what it requires as well. We'd like to welcome those who have joined us in our auditorium, as well as on Zoom, our staff, and then the four members that are present this evening. Our first item of business is to approve our agenda as printed. Has everybody had an opportunity to review? Are we okay with how it's presented?
Can we pull up Zoom real quick and just make sure we have our first thing, applicants? Okay, yeah, then I'm good. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Okay, we have the motion. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Our next item of business is to approve the minutes from our June 13th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review. Any discussion? Okay.
I'll be abstaining from this just because I was not at the last meeting, so I don't feel I should be part of the minute approval.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as published in the packet for the previous meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Catmull. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Please note that Commissioner Gedge abstained from voting. All right, staff, do we have any business this evening?
I don't think so.
Okay. I believe we don't have a meeting in 2 weeks, correct? Our next meeting is a month from now?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, Planning Commission members, any business from you? Would you like to give us an update on the last city council meeting?
Sure. So the last city council meeting was emotional. It was Carrie's last city council meeting. They didn't have a ton of pertinent business that pertains to our group, but they did rename the public safety building after Gary and appointed Dustin as the city manager. So it was a lot of emotions in that meeting and a lot of just talking.
All right, thank you. I know a month from now is hard to know. I would like to thank Commissioner Starks and Darby for letting me know that they would not be here this evening and for everybody for responding so quickly to make sure that we had a quorum. A month from now, however, is anybody aware of any conflict that would make it so they can't attend on the 8th?
I'll double check. I'll double check.
Thank you.
Back to you.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for me. So let's get going. We have one item that we tabled at our last meeting. So this is an item that will not have a public comment, but we will have staff share their findings with us on the Sagewood Barn site plan so that we can hopefully take a vote tonight on that. Demir, I believe that's you.
Yes, thank you. As you mentioned, this was presented about four weeks ago at the Planning Commission meeting. The item was tabled because the Planning Commission had some concerns that we had enough assurance that a right turn lane was going to go in with the project. What was being proposed at the time is for the timing of the right turn lane to be delayed for up to 5 years, and the Planning Commission just requested some additional assurances that this is going to be done. Since then, the applicant has deeded the property over to the city. That's they've given us enough property to construct the right turn lane. So we have the property that's needed for the turn lane. The site plan's been provided to you guys. It has updated drawings showing the turn lane. And as for bonding, we talked about bonding. That's going to be done before any permits are issued by the city. Obviously, the applicant doesn't want to bond at the time. They just want to have the assurance that the project is going to move forward because bonding by itself costs the money. So they don't want to go through the expense of spending money on something that they don't have the okay on the project yet. So, and with that, I'll turn it over to you, commissioners.
Is there a way to share any of the pictures from our packet? I just want to make sure I understand the drawings. I didn't feel like I saw any drawing that updated to show that turn pocket.
I don't think we have any of the ones of the anything new. We have the ones from the last meeting, though.
Okay.
Page 31.
Excuse me, commissioners. Mm-hmm. If you go to it's labeled as page 31 in my packet. It the right turn pocket is shown on that drawing, okay. That site plan.
And then, just as a clarification, you said that they've deeded it to the city, but the bond will be in place to pay for those upgrades and for the installation. That won't be the city's responsibility, correct?
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Commissioners, any questions?
I do have one for the applicant, if we can bring up Zoom.
Okay. So for Ms. Visser, if you're online, we would ask that you please turn on your camera and your audio, state your name and where you reside for the records, and then we'll let Ms. Bevins ask her question.
Hi, Megan Visser.
Can you state where you reside for the record?
Where I currently reside or where I live in South Jordan? What do you mean?
Yeah, you're in South Jordan.
Yeah, South Jordan. 3031 Rita Ridge Court in South Jordan.
Perfect. Okay, so I just have a very basic question on the site plan. I know we've talked about the existing garage that you guys are using from your parents' property. It occurred to me earlier today that that's currently on your parents' property. Is there some sort of agreement that you could provide the city that shows that you... I spoke with the city attorney, Mr. Simonson, before, and he used the word control, that you have control of that property that the existing garage is on, so that we have that included in here so that it shows that that's not. Does that make sense? Like, it's currently on your parents' property?
The existing garage is not on my parents' property. It's part of what we purchased.
Okay.
And it's on the.
Perfect. Yeah. That clears it up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions down here?
No, I just want to know that I will be also abstaining from this item because I didn't participate in the discussion a month ago.
Okay.
Madam Chair, maybe a question for Demir. So as I understand what you were saying is on our motion, I see it expressed two different ways. One that says... that the operation or the construction and operation contingent upon receipt of the bond. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe needs to happen, right?
Yes.
Because we approve it, and then not approve it, but if we approve it, then they would be more, it makes sense from a sequential basis to then give us a bond.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Great, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just have one statement. I'm still a little bit uncomfortable with the delay and the timing. However, it sounds like our planning department with the city has put in place a timing and led the applicant to believe that that would be acceptable and interpreted the city council's condition that way. So I personally think I'm probably being a little bit petty, so I will let that go, but I do agree with the discussion that we had last month, and I believe it was Mr. Simonson that stated it as well, that when a condition is put in place, it should probably develop with the project. So that said, that's the only thing I needed to say for the record on this item. I'm ready for a motion if there's no further discussion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve application PLSPR20230005 to allow for the construction and operation of an event center subject to the city's receipt of an acceptable bond
We have a motion. Mr. Catmull, where is the second motion? I just want to make sure that all of the... Okay, there were no other writers. I'm happy with your motion. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, could we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Cantwell?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bennett?
Yes.
And you're abstaining, correct?
Correct.
Okay. This item passes 3-0. I'd like to thank the staff and the Vissers for providing that additional information and providing that clarification so that we could take a vote today. And appreciate the patience with the process. We try very hard not to table items because we know that people want their projects to move forward. Okay, our next item of business under administrative public hearings is item H1, Daybreak Village 13 Plat 1 Preliminary Subdivision, and Greg has our staff report.
Thank you. This Plat Village 13 Plat 1, first plat in Village 13, which is, you can see how far west it is in Daybreak. It's not too far from the Backus Highway over there, just to the west. It's it would be on the north side of the future South Jordan Parkway. I was out there today. There's no South Jordan Parkway on there yet, and it's still construction. They've got it maybe graded, but there's no way to get there other than to. Even on some of the streets that you can see just south of that, they have barricades up that don't allow you to get to that piece of property yet. This one lot in the subdivision is just a little over 2 acres, and it is being platted for a future South Jordan City fire station that will be located on this site, and it will take up the entire plat area. It also includes roadway as well on the. So there'll be some road dedication on the east side of it, but most of it will be the fire station. East and west side, I guess, just right away. Yeah, you can see on this one where there's a road on either side of it, and I'm not sure yet where it will be accessed from. It may have access from both streets. I don't think it's going to have any access from South Jordan Parkway. I think they'll come off of one of the other two streets. Either, I don't know which way, but they haven't given us the site plan to review yet. I think I don't have anything else to add on that. Staff is recommending approval of the subdivision.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Questions for staff?
Yeah, thank you. Greg, just an informational sense, this is a preliminary subdivision that we're reviewing today, but when it does come for site plan, a preliminary site plan, since you just mentioned it will be for a firehouse, which I believe would be a city property, is the city the applicant? Would that come before us, or because the city's the applicant, does that go through a different process?
Site plans don't come through the Planning Commission at all in Daybreak. So just subdivisions are the only things that come forward here.
Any other questions? Okay. I'm told that the applicant may be online, so at this time I'd like to offer Peregrine Consulting's representative an opportunity to add anything to the staff report if they so desire. We would just ask that you turn on your camera and your audio, state your name, and who you represent for our records.
I can't tell who the star in the corner is, but none of the other names ring a bell. So,
okay. Then at this time, we'll go ahead and open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time to address the commission. We would just ask that you please state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you would have 3 minutes to address the commission. We'll extend this opportunity first to those who have joined us in person, and then we'll allow those that have joined us on Zoom the same opportunity if they can enable their camera and their audio. You can just give me a wave if you're online and you'd like that opportunity. Is there anyone in our auditorium this evening that would like to speak to this item? Okay. Is there anybody on Zoom who would like to address the commission on this item? I'm not seeing anyone, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, I like the placement of a fire station next to a school. That'll be great for field trips.
I have just one, because our next two items are very similar, subdivisions in Daybreak. And so it's not a comment for these three items that we're going to see tonight, but maybe for the future property to the west that may be annexed into the city and whatever development or master agreement goes into place with the, with that property owner, is that maybe site plan, preliminary site plan, not be just be given complete control to the developer when they have those discussions with that moving forward. Because a lot of the concerns we get from citizens when items come before us are site plan related, and we have no purview over that with the Daybreak. So whatever Daybreak 2.0 or whatever it might be called comes to fruition, maybe not give up complete control. I would just, as a recommendation to City Council on that.
Okay.
And I have no objection, so Madam Chair, I'd like to make a recommendation based on following that, that based on the discussion and the evidence presented this evening, that we approve project number PLPP20230059, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 4-0. Our next item under the administrative public hearings is Daybreak Village 10, North Platte 4 Preliminary Subdivision, and Greg has our staff report again.
Okay. For that, Phil will put it up for me. Okay. This this subdivision, Daybreak Village 10 North Platte 4, is located in sort of the on the north end of the of Daybreak, on the east side of Mountain View, and also east of the future Granville Avenue. As you can see on this, the plat contains about 19 acres, and it's generally the plat will. Served. It's basically there's two lots. Two C lots. The largest of the two will be the location of a public works facility, and that's up in the northeast corner, northwest corner of the plat, northeast corner of the and up there the on the east side of Granville. So the northwest corner of the plat will be where the public works facility will go, and the other there's a little tiny. Some little tiny pieces of lot. There's a park lot that will, I guess it'll be easier to show you that. The little park lot is on the along Granville Avenue. That will it's right between those lots that say they're VP Daybreak Operations lots. Those are part of the Bingham Creek plat. Those are all open space lots that run along there, and they will remain open space as far as. If there's any plans to develop them, get kind of the elevations and so forth, it's there probably will be, you know, trails and things like that could happen in there. But then there's adjacent, there's a little sliver that's adjacent to Granville Avenue that will also be a P-lot just to extend that, and then it'll go across. And then they do go across Granville Avenue and continue on with the open space toward the west. But they're dedicating a sliver of right of way at this. I don't know how to show you that on the lower left hand side of the screen. There is a place that shows the extension of Bingham Rim Road that will connect Bingham Rim Road to the future Granville Avenue, and then it'll go across Granville eventually, and it continues on all the way out. Toward Bacchus Highway already, there's a lot of that road has been constructed. The other C-102 lot that is I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I believe it's a little tiny mechanical building that exists out on the property, and I don't know if it's something that the city owns or controls or what entity owns it exactly, but it's really tiny. It's just about not much bigger than a shed, and it's just the property it sits on for that. And I don't have anything else to add on it. There's, like I said, the only right-of-way that's being dedicated is basically that road extension, and then that up along there in the upper right side of your screen, that snake-long skinny part is basically sidewalk and park strip right-of-way that has not been dedicated with the previous developments on the south side. They're dedicating it with this. So, you know, it may have a sidewalk on that side, or it may just have a trail. I'm not sure what it's going to have.
Do you know what the lots will be used for, the VP Daybreak operations lots?
They're not used for anything.
Why are they subdividing them into separate lots?
They're not. This is not part of this plat. They've been subdivided for 15 years.
Okay.
They just created those lots as open space lots forever in the future.
Okay.
It's part of their open space plan. So.
Okay. Questions for staff? Okay. The applicant we decided is not present. So at this time, I'm going to open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time. I'm not seeing anybody in the auditorium. Could I get our Zoom screen? So same opportunity. If you would like to address the commission on this item, we ask that you turn on your camera.
The applicant is available. Warnick.
Mr. Spencer, is there anything you would like to add to the staff report? Please state your name and who you represent for our records.
I'm Trevor Spencer. I live just across the street from where that new area is, and we just wanted to, so the intent is that those are to be public works buildings. Is that what I'm understanding?
I'm so sorry. Would you please tell us, are you commenting as a citizen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So will you state where you reside and then go ahead and make your comments?
Yeah,
and then we'll get questions.
I live on 10417 South Stavanger, which is the closest lot to that currently, and we want to understand what that development is intended to be. And so it sounded like it's public works buildings. Is that correct?
So I'm going to write down all questions that come up during public comment, and we'll have staff answer those after.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer. Is there anyone else who has joined us online that would like to speak to that item? This item. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to get this question answered. I think it was answered for me, but let's get the picture back up. The one that has the yellow outline. Well, this is fine too. So if I understand correctly, the dark black line and everything inside is what we're considering this evening.
Right, that's correct. And all those lots that are adjacent to Bingham Rim Road are not part of the subdivision. They've already been divided. They're not going to have houses on them. They're open space. So the public works facility will be at the far north end, adjacent to basically West Jordan, because that's who's on the north side of that, across.
Okay, and so that's marked lot C101.
C101, right.
Great. And then there was another small C lot, which is that little square that's along the segment that's been dedicated for sidewalk and park strip.
Right.
And okay. And then there's a little P lot. Well, no. Yeah, there is a small P lot as well in the corner.
And I think can't probably zoom in on that picture, but if it was able to zoom in on what that little notch is, it has a small structure on it, and I'm not sure. Okay. It's been there for quite a while, I think before the school was built, as far as I know. So.
Just for the benefit of Mr. Spencer, could you describe what goes on a lot like this? What type of structures you might expect?
Public works yard. It's probably similar to what we've got already at the public works yard down here on Redwood Road. There'll probably be an office area. There'll be shops and so forth in there, and places to store the equipment and things. It's just having another one out on the west side will make it a lot shorter trip for them. So when they have to go out and repair roads or whatever they need to do, they'll have a shorter distance to go.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any other concerns or questions for staff?
Yeah, maybe, Madam Chair, so as we're talking about the structures that would be there in the public works, there's really no adjacent residential to any of the structures.
No, there's not. To the north is West Jordan. To the west is Rocky Mountain Power. To the east is the open space, Bingham Creek. You can see in this picture how Bingham Creek, how you can almost see how the darker it is, it goes down. It's quite a drop there too. They're the same way, I think, to the east, they run into the Bingham Creek area as well. So.
Yeah. And so the only structure is the small one that's across from.
Yeah, and it's an existing one that not sure what it is, but.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if Jeremy has any idea what that is either, so.
There's a lot of utilities around.
All right, commissioners, any further discussion? All right, I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve project PLPP 2023-00058, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? I will second Ms. Bevins' motion. Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Kettlow?
Aye.
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 4-0. All right, next item of business is H3, the Daybreak Urban Center Plat 1 Preliminary Subdivision. Greg has our staff report.
Thank you. This plat is the Urban Center, plat number 1. It's located, as you can see on the map, sort of north and west of the intersection of Lake Avenue and Granville Avenue. That's the overall plat showing all of the lots. It contains mostly C lots, those are civic or commercial lots, and then there are a few. I think there's one or two park lots or mixed in with those. And the total acreage of the plat is just a little over 30 acres. They have the 17 C lots and 2 park lots, as I mentioned. There's several streets that will be dedicated to the city, and there is one private road that's proposed upon, as you can see on this page of the plat. It's the one with the hatch marks through it that shows that as being a private, more of a driveway or access point to various future buildings on there. We have not seen a site plan for any of these lots at all for the city. So, it's obvious that this area is being platted for future development, including the ballpark that's been announced that there's going to be one there. So but there's no site plan, or there's nothing we would have to even be able to share with you on it at this point. So. Because I don't think they have anything to share with us either, so they're still working on that. All the city codes, state codes, everything's been done correctly with this plat. There will be some right of way vacation, possibly by vacating a plat. As you can see, there are future roads that run through this plat that will not line up on the plat. They're shown differently on the plat. So it's going through the process now of the city council. It's going to come before them to vacate that right of way. It's never been built, but they were platted that way for various reasons. But then now that it's the dynamics have been changing, and those roads will not go straight through like it was proposed there. They'll take a different route. So, and that was what will be dedicated with this plat. You can see the one comes in and makes a sharp turn and then goes down, and then the other ones they still go through most of the plat, but they take a different route. They might move, or they move slightly one way or the other. So, with this platting currently. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. So. Is a P-lot in this application a parking lot?
No. It's park. P-lots are always park.
Okay.
Park. They may not be a park, but they'll have open space. It could be a plaza. It could be anything that the public can gather.
Okay. So forth. Could you go to the slide that has the aerial view and tell us approximately where the ballpark is in relation to this?
Okay. That one, the ballpark. Right where it says urban. probably right in there, proposed an urban R in that area is where it would be built. And on this it is C114 would probably be that.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, questions for staff?
Go ahead. Yeah, a couple. On this picture, can you briefly explain where the future tracks station would be located in proximity to this item?
I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe it is, I think it's right where that shows that road on this aerial photo. It'll be right there, and I'm not sure which side of the street, but okay. It could be on either side.
So in the general vicinity of the actual property itself. Okay. And then I guess just to go back to the first item we had this evening, and you mentioned in your report that the city council will see the vacation of a certain strip of right-of-way here. But other than tonight, that's the only time that any public body that will have citizen comment or feedback will have any input into this area, correct?
Right. And on the right-of-way vacation, it's the only people that are being noticed or have any, will be those who own the property adjacent to the right-of-way, which is Daybreak.
Okay.
So that's, that's the way the state law reads. So that's...
Yeah. So you probably know what I'm going to say, but it's very disappointing that a major project this size coming to our city of Flat isn't going to have any citizen involvement other than tonight. And I think that's just very disappointing. So,
unfortunately, well, I don't know how unfortunate it might be, but state law does not require cities to bring site plans to their legislative or to their administrative bodies. So
again, I know city council reads the minutes. Again, this is very disappointing that a project this large, this is the only forum that the citizens of South Jordan will be given, input into what is going here that's been in the news. And again, that's very disappointing. So I contact anybody who listens to the minutes to reach out to your elected officials.
One question along those same lines is, I'll just talk to you offline. I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Go for it.
No, that's all right.
You didn't do public comment, right? Okay. Again, I don't think the applicant is present, so I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time.
Remember, the applicant is present, John B. Warnick.
Oh.
He's been there for the last two items.
Okay. I got confused the last one then. Then if the representative from Peregrine Consulting would like to add anything to the staff report, we'd invite...
He's with Daybreak.
Daybreak. If Mr. Warnick would like to add anything to the staff report at this time, we would ask that you just turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. I'm not seeing any indication that's the case, so we'll open up this item to public comment. We invite those that are in our auditorium this evening to approach the podium if they would like to address the commission. Okay, we're going to go to our online. If anyone online would like to add or comment on this item, we just ask that you please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, do we have questions for staff or the applicant?
There's really not a lot to have questions on, been presented, so that's what's disappointing to me.
Okay.
It's very vague for such the next 2 years of a project, roads, parking, what are the types of other buildings going in there, and basically the way that the agreements worked out by the city councils 20 plus years ago, they can do this. I mean, this is going to be a great benefit for the city. It's just, we're not going to know what it's like until there's still ribbon cutting. So.
Greg, I have a question, and this just goes back to my fundamental lack of understanding. you said that entities are not required to bring a site plan before the city, or is it master plan communities? Because we have site plans on our agenda this evening.
Well, that's true. It's just that the state law does not require site plans or subdivisions to go before anybody, you know, other than they can be staff to be designated to review all of those.
So what determines if a site plan does come to us? Is that voluntary?
No, it's just our code. Our code, the city code, does say site plans and subdivisions will go to in Title 16, will come to the Planning Commission for their review. They used to go to go to City Council, but they changed that several years ago, 20 years ago at least. They changed that and said that you would be the land use authority, and then that's on those. However, with the adoption of the Daybreak master development, neither one were required to come to the Planning Commission. Staff, we thought at first we decided as staff we asked if we should be taking that, and so we got permission basically from City Council many years ago to take subdivisions forward to the Planning Commission and have you look at those. The thing is that that's why you're often frustrated about when things come forward, especially with Daybreak. But it'd be the same thing with a site plan. That it doesn't matter what the residents think or like about anything, you have to approve it because it meets the requirements of our codes and the development agreement. So that's why we don't bring them forward on site plans, because there would be a lot of people here for a lot of items that come forward on site plans, and the zoning in Daybreak and the PC zone doesn't prohibit anything. It doesn't prohibit building a warehouse adjacent to a subdivision, and doesn't prohibit, five-story condo buildings adjacent to single-family, single-level homes. And so that's why I know the commission gets frustrated when residents come saying, why can't you deny this? Well, you can't, because it's meeting all of the codes and the development agreement. I will say in the past there have been a few items that have come, and one was the temple. It came. Some people did not want it built there. Most people did. And so that was probably an easy one. The University of Utah Medical, their clinic and their center there, it came forward. And there was nobody, again, because it was built before anybody was around it. Obviously, there was probably no comment, but I think if they came forward now, people would complain about that as well. So after we took a few of those together and did a few of those forward, it just didn't seem like it was necessary anymore for us to do that. And it was already in the code that we didn't have to. But we tried, at that point, we were trying to keep the Planning Commission informed. And we tried to figure out other ways to keep you informed about what's going on, even though, so you'll know about it. But the code does not require, state code doesn't require that to go forward, and it didn't require it back when the development agreement was approved. And so and I wasn't really party on that, but I'm pretty sure that's why it wasn't included as a requirement. It has specific in Title 17 under the PC zone, it says how you process subdivision site plans and condominium plats. And usually most of them say the approval lies with the planning director and city engineer.
Okay.
So I know you might wish, and it doesn't mean same thing's going to happen with future development, that they're going to have a totally different zone. I mean, I think they're going to have PC zone, but it might be their own PC zone. So I'm not sure how that's going to work.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Commissioners, further discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
I have one question.
Please.
So they're all C lots or P lots. I don't see anything designated as a parking lot. Obviously, that comes on a site plan. Could these C lots turn into parking lots?
The C lots could.
Okay.
And they could, you know, they could turn into parking lots on the ground, or they could turn into parking structures. It's okay. All those will come with eventually with the site plan for us. But
okay, and I obviously don't understand all of the daybreak stuff either, but with knowing that the ballpark is going here, is there some sort of requirement for them to have a certain number of parking spots?
There is in our code. There's a section that requires for. It's in section 1626. And I don't remember the exact how you. It's based on probably seats, okay. And I can't remember on what that ratio is.
And that will all apply to daybreak to this.
Yeah, well, it might or might not. It depends, because it's also Daybreak has a provision in theirs where they can reduce the number based on the proximity to a transit stop. And this is going to be almost adjacent to that. So they can reduce that by, I can't remember, it's by one per thousand, whatever the original one is. If it's, so they would be able to do that.
If I can comment, so those C lots around there, those are going to be cornfields where Shoeless Joe Jackson and other ball players reside and come out periodically and play on the Field of Dreams. So
we that's get that my... in writing.
It's on the record.
Yeah. It is on that record.
Now, I hesitate to say this because Greg Schindler really knows the development code very well and has explained it. But as you may remember, when we did training on subdivision plats, only the preliminary subdivision plat comes before the Planning Commission. And this is in all cases. And then the final plat is reviewed and checked off for the additional requirements by staff. That's how our legislative body has set it up. And so I disagree in the kindest way with Commissioner Getch about how we're going to walk up on the day of the game starts and we're going to know what's going to go there, because the plat will be recorded, and the final plat will be recorded, and that gives notice to the public for everything that is required on a final subdivision plat. And so we'll get more details that way.
And I guess on that process, are the rules for Daybreak different than the rest of the city that the city staff would review?
The city staff... You'll notice a requirement on there that it says that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
With the possible exceptions that are written in the master agreement with Daybreak specifically, correct?
And I wish I knew what all of that, I wish I had that memorized, but I don't, but I'm not aware that they have. I mean, I do review all the Daybreak plats that come across, and in general, they appear to me like any other ordinary plat when they're about to be recorded.
Can I just make a recommendation for City Council, maybe to work with I just foresee public clamor noise coming in the next 2 years about the process, you know, of that. And so they might want to come up with talking points, wording, messaging, something in the newsletter, something to work with Millers, with the Daybreak, you know, the developers, just to make sure that, you know, hopefully some openness communication with the general public. That's just my concern is, you know, what was the process? you know, that the general public is aware, you know, just not a press announcement that a baseball stadium is coming to this general area. So, you know, because generally, you know, these types of forums, planning commissioner, city councilor, are typically the only public avenues for them to, you know, see these types of things. And I understand what's in the master agreement and why we have to follow this process. That's why I made my statement earlier tonight with any new annexation. Hopefully those can be addressed proactively for planning commissions down the road. I won't be serving on that when those come before us, I'm pretty sure. But so that our general public is properly notified and understand what's going in there. But I appreciate you explaining that, you know, there is a staff approval process and they are consistent and they have their policies and procedures, rules to follow for the final approval. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please. I move, based on the discussion this evening and the evidence presented, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve project number PLPP 2023-00063, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Okay. Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bivens?
Aye.
Okay.
This item passes 4-0. Our next item this evening is the Shields Lane Subdivision Amended Subdivision Amendment, and Miguel has our staff report.
Thank you. So this is a preliminary subdivision amendment located at 1720 West Shields Lane, and sorry, I'm not sure how this works. So this is the location. It is part of the Shields Lane subdivision. So this is the western lot. The lot on the east is currently where the come and go is has been built, and to the north is the Santorini Village. This is the zoning. So currently it is commercial neighborhood, and it is vacant as of right now. So this is the proposed subdivision amendment plat. So the western lot is proposed to be subdivided into two lots. Lot 2A is supposed to be 1.308 acres, and lot 2B is supposed to be 0.911 acres. And currently lot 2A has a site plan application tied to it, or for it, I mean. So staff recommends approval of this subdivision amendment.
Page 98 of our staff report, there's a shot of this area that shows a legend showing what each area is. My understanding is this whole area, it's not this one. This is similar.
Is it the land use map?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
My understanding was when this whole area went in that both Santorini Village and these lots had the same zoning overlay, which was a commercial mixed use. I'm probably getting my terminology wrong. Maybe Greg can help me.
I think when Santorini Village still has the zoning of mixed use on it.
Okay.
And these were properties were in the mixed use but when they were sold, the city council approved a rezoning of their properties to a commercial zone.
Okay. So my question, and so this isn't the right map, and so maybe this doesn't make sense. The one that I'm looking at shows Santorini as stable neighborhood, and I'm just curious if that, I guess that's a land use instead of a zoning. Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, that's the future land use for that site, for Santorini. And yes, yeah, I see what you're looking at in the packet.
Okay.
It is stable neighborhood. So if there is a vacant, not really a vacant lot, but there's a lot on Redwood Road, just immediately, a couple lots immediately north of the come and go, they haven't really developed yet. And because it's labeled a stable neighborhood, if they were wanting to rezone, they would probably have to rezone to something that would match what's existing. And I don't know if the council would even approve that because the density that's adjacent to those is it's a density they may not want to approve, but it's that hasn't come before you or anything yet anyway. I don't know if they've even applied for anything. But the two properties, the two lots, the existing lots, and then those were rezoned to the CN zone. I don't know how long ago it was, but before the general plan, last general plan, indicated that this was stable neighborhood. So,
okay, but. I think that's what I needed to know, and I see it now in the neighboring zones and uses in Santorini in the staff report, separate from that map, is still marked mixed use. I just wanted to clarify that all got done at the same time when they were designating this area as kind of that walk, live, play type use. Okay. Questions for staff?
You guys are going to be sick of me tonight. Sorry.
Okay.
And this one might be for this item and maybe the next item, you know, try to get both items with one question, and this might be for Jeremy, but I know with the come and go being open now, and now we're dividing this into two lots and with the proposal on the next item, any issues with traffic exiting either of these properties going eastbound on Shields Lane, you know, crossing traffic, especially with the new, you know, gas station convenience store on that corner? Any concerns by having two lots instead of one? I believe I saw the staff report, it's pick up one car every 10 minutes for the daycare, which is the next item, but any concerns by having two lots instead of one with traffic exiting the flow going eastbound on the Shields Lane?
From staff perspective, we didn't have any concerns because they are trying to combine the accesses to be combined with the come and go access. So it'll channel it and reduce the number of accesses onto Shields Lane. So we didn't have a concern with it.
And in the event that there was, though, you could make it right in, right out only at that point if that did become a hazard.
Okay. Yeah, if we find that there's a hazard or anything, you know, issues being caused there, then we can restrict access.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Okay, questions? All right. Is the applicant present? Would you like to add anything to our staff report this evening? No? Okay, you can just sit on the front row. Yep, that's great. And we may call you up if we've got questions after public comment. So this time I would like to open up this item to public comment. Commissioner Gedge alluded to this. We do have two items associated with the same site. So what we are discussing right now is dividing this lot into two lots. We aren't discussing what it's going to be used for, just for that clarification so that you can decide when the comment is appropriate. So if anybody in our auditorium would like to speak to this item, we invite you to come forward at this time. That's how our recording can get you.
Okay, so I'm Lisa Hunt. I live at Santorini Village at 9711 South Zachary Lane. And my concern is with the traffic. So I had a number of questions. Right now, the traffic on Emporio is heavy, and we have residents that park on both sides of that road. So it's a very narrow driveway going into Santorini. From the map that we received in the mail, it appeared as if there was a driveway going into the parking lot of this area or going out so they could come in by come and go, but then go out the other way. Am I reading the map correctly? That was my first question. And then has there been any consideration for doing a median on that 9800 South? And if so, does that mean that the street will need to be widened? And then concerning the parking lot, our townhomes are very, very close to the parking lot. When the gas station went in, they were very strategic as to where they put their lighting so that during the evening, it wasn't shining right into bedroom windows. And they also were considerate and did plant trees, which are supposed to be tall trees that will help with some of that lighting. And last question, I believe, pertaining to just the grounds are when they put in that 8-foot retaining wall, they ended up breaking our sprinkler system. So on Emporio, Santorini HOA is responsible for that park strip right in front. I'm wondering, is that going to change to, you know, the new owners? Or who would be responsible for that park strip there? I think that's it. Oh, one last question. And on the map, and I apologize because I don't know how to read the map. It's very small. But will there be a fence between the two properties? Because from what I could see, it's like the driveway would come in from Come and Go, but then I couldn't tell if there was a fence or if that's just a line dividing the two properties. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. We'll get those answered after public comment. Is there anyone else this evening that would like to speak to this item?
And Madam Chair, as the residents coming forward, reminder that this item is for just the subdivision. So any site-specific items would be on our next. Just why I was to preface that, because a lot was just raised on the previous commenter. We have to hold off until the next item. So just I wanted to bring that up.
Hi. My concern is.
Please state your name and where you reside for our records.
The entrance to these properties, is it going to be on Emporio Drive?
Will you state your name?
Yes, Jana Nielsen.
And where you reside?
1797 West DeCaros Lane, South Jordan, Utah.
Thank you. Sorry, continue. Okay. We just need that for our
Sorry.
Records.
My concern is the entrances to these properties, are they going to be on Shields Lane or Emporio Avenue?
We'll get that answered after public comment, so you can continue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're
okay.
Fine.
We were concerned about increase of traffic in the neighborhood, and especially with if it's going to be a school going off there in there. I'm real familiar with pick-up and drop-off times and how people will sit in a line to drop off and pick up their children. And I don't want that to... I don't want them sitting in my neighborhood waiting to pick up their kids. Okay, that's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? We'll now turn to our Zoom platform. If you could join us on Zoom and would like to speak to this item, we just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online, so I'm going to close public comment and bring this back to get some of these questions answered. As Commissioner Gedge mentioned, some of these will be relevant to the actual site plan application, so we'll answer them as they make sense for this particular, this item, where we're just looking at the subdivision of the piece of property. I do, however, feel like traffic and entrances and that is relevant. So Jeremy, could you please walk us through where there would be entrances and exits to these lots and how those line up on Emporio and on Shields?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So there will be two entrances into this preschool or daycare, I believe is what the application is. One will be off Emporio Drive. It'll access, there's an access there on the east side of Emporio Drive is what they're proposing. And then the other access, as I mentioned, will be combined with the Come and Go station. And both accesses will be, at this point in time, they're both full access. No restrictions on those accesses.
At this time, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. In the event... Could you please talk through what the city does to evaluate roads and the grading system that you use and what might trigger evaluating putting like a median in that road to ensure right in, right out.
Yeah, we have all kinds of reports that we do, safety reports to see if there's any increase in accidents in areas, and from that when we see that kind of an increase, then we start evaluating what can be done to improve the safety. And as we evaluate, as part of that evaluation, restricting access is an option, you know, that can be considered. An example of this is out at Smith's recently, out in Daybreak. We recently restricted one of the accesses there because there was a rise in accidents. And so that's what we do.
Could you also talk to the responsibility of maintaining the park strip in that area? Ms. Hunt mentioned that the HOA is responsible for that section right now. Does that change along that stretch that borders the west side of this property? Or is that public road? Or
It probably should change because it'll have a new owner where it's adjacent to. I don't know how the development agreement was written up or if it's going to stay, but normally the property owner that is adjacent to the street, they're the ones that have to take care of the park strips, maintain.
Why would the Santorini HOA be responsible for this particular park strip at this time?
Because this property was part of the original development agreement. So. Okay.
So probably, but we don't know for sure?
I can't speculate because I don't know exactly what the development agreement says. But
Mr. Simonson, do you have any ideas? Oh, okay.
However, if there are issues between the HOA and who's supposed to maintain, that would be a civil issue. Is that not correct?
Probably would be. I mean, our code does say, it says that, when a commercial development's property owners are to maintain the that. So if we maintain the park strips, so that might be something to the HOA's advantage in this case.
Okay.
So maybe the applicant might be able to add something to that.
Okay. We may bring the applicant up in a minute. I'm going to make a note that we need to revisit the lighting and placement of that lighting, the placement of the parking for the next item. So those are issues that we will ask the staff about under the next item. However, the fence is an interesting question. I know that often we require a fence between different uses, but these are not different zones. So Miguel or Jeremy, could either of you speak to what the fencing requirement would be?
So is this a question about fencing on the east side or the north side?
I think both, please.
So on the east side, the applicant is showing a 6-foot high vinyl fence on the perimeter of the east. So that's what's planned there. And it's visible, well, it's not very visible in this image, but on the site plan application, it was shown.
Miguel, but that does that 6-foot fence only extend to where the access and parking lot is, correct? It doesn't go all the way to Shields Lane, is that right?
It does not go all the way to Shields
Lane. Okay, so there is shared access between both of these lots?
Yes.
Okay.
And then would there be any fencing on the north side?
So it is my understanding there is currently a masonry wall there that will provide the barrier and fence.
Great. All right, did I get all of the questions answered from public comment that are relevant to this item? Do we have questions for staff or for the applicant?
Not on this item.
Not on this item.
Actually, I just thought of one.
Sure.
Since it is sharing an access with Come and Go, I'm assuming they're two different property owners between this development and the gas station. And do they need to have some sort of cross-access agreement dedicated to allow for that sharing of that entrance?
Yes, they do. And that's one of the conditions for the next approval is that they get that.
On the next item.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm jumping
on that. On the next item. No, good question.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? I think I'm ready for motion then.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
I move that on this evening's discussion and testimony and staff report, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve with the condition of the cross-access agreement, the Shields Lane Subdivision Amendment, file number PLPLA 2023-00036. I guess I should have just read the motion before I ask that question.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 4-0, and now the related item before us is the Everbrook Academy Daycare Center site plan application. And Miguel, again, has our staff report.
Thank you. So this is the site plan application for Everbrook Academy. So this is what's going to go on what will be the address on Lot 2A. It is 1816 West Shields Lane or 9777 South Emporia Drive. Because it is a corner lot, it has two addresses. So it is going to be 1.308 acres. It is currently vacant, and it is just south of Santorini Village. So the building is projected is going to be 12,870 square feet. It's going to be a daycare center, and it is capacity will be 155 students and staff. So for parking, it will have 33 parking stalls, and that is based on one parking stall per 300 square feet. And that is from 9,135 square feet of occupied floor area. So that's how that was determined. The occupied floor area was in the multi-purpose room. My apologies, I'll show the floor plan here as well. So the occupied floor area was a multi-purpose room, a lobby, 11 classrooms, and a corridor space. It excludes the bathrooms, a laundry, a pantry, a utility room. So for the building facade, it is going to be masonry, stone, and stucco. And it is going to be a brown and tan color palette. And here are some building elevations for you to look at. For landscaping, it'll be wrapped around the west and south of the lot with a mix of grass and different trees, 36 trees and 154 shrubs. So one thing to note that I noted in the staff report was that the parking will be around the front facades of the building so that the back facade remains an enclosed area for the daycare. So considering this and with the condition of the cross-access easement, the staff recommends approval of this site application.
Miguel, I sent you an email about this, but I'd like to discuss it a little further. I don't fully understand the square footage calculation. Is it typical for 40% of the square footage of a building to be excluded from that kind of a calculation? Are hallways really that much space in a floor plan? And then I know you also cited a pantry and one other thing, but is there anything in our code that prohibits them from converting that into a classroom, effectively increasing their square footage that they're using as classroom?
So I'm not sure about that second part, but so they do include the corridor space in the overall square footage for parking. And as far as why it was occupied instead of entire building square footage, so the code defines floor area as existing occupied areas. So that's how we interpreted to mean that it includes all the classrooms and the multipurpose room in the lobby, but it does not include spaces like bathrooms and the laundry and the pantry that would be occupied.
Okay.
Can you list those areas that are not considered occupied again?
Yeah, so in the floor plan, they exclude the toilets, a couple closets, a utility room, a pantry, a laundry room, and an office. What they include are 11 classrooms, a multi-purpose room, a lobby, and the corridor space, which is highlighted in green.
Have we done that before? that we're aware of. I can't say I recall a similar calculation or criteria in previous applications.
It hasn't been done all the time, but it's happened. And Steve interpreted the code that way. And so that it's okay, because there are, you know, of the, and it's, you know, there's, they're proposing enough parking for 70% of the floor area. But the, I mean, there are, I'm not sure why they're counting hallway space. It's usually, a lot of times they take out the hallway space too, because the hallway is shared. It's like, you're not, so the classrooms are usually, they're calculated at a certain level. And then there's office, the office space is calculated. So it's usually with a school, something that's called a school, they'll base it just on classrooms. Number of classrooms, and I don't know how this one was based. Miguel might have. Is it the one for 300 square feet? So they used the one for 300, and a lot of times we don't count like utility closets or, you know, the furnace and water heater are, there's nobody there, so why would it be counted toward the you know, parking? Because there's not somebody coming specifically to be in those areas, but they have, and if it counted as classrooms, it would be counted as, it might turn out to be less, even less parking spaces, because schools are based on the number of, that's the number of faculty and staff, and then so many per classroom. But if it's not a high school, they're not going to get. The ratio is really low, because only high schools have use, kind of, because they have kids driving to them and they have to have a place to park. But so I don't know if the ratio would be different if we just counted it as a school. But since it's, I'm let the applicant answer. Is it a preschool or is it mostly daycare? So. On that, and then are the kids there all day long, or do they come and go?
So that's using like a space by space.
Sorry for the come and go.
So is that using the space by space occupancy calculator then? Is that how we come up with like those numbers instead of just total square footage?
They calculated this one as more of an office, or one for 300 is typical of a general office thing, and then probably other things in the code too. I don't know exactly all the different ones that go by the one for 300.
Miguel, did the applicant present a traffic plan?
So they provided a traffic drop-off pickup memo. So they said that the hours of operation are typically going to be from 6 a.m. to around 6 p.m., but because it's a daycare, people will come and go with their kids when, depending on when they drop them off. I'm not really sure whether or not engineering found that to be sufficient, but perhaps the applicant or engineering could answer more on that.
So that is one I want more. Do you have the answer, Jeremy, or is this one we need the applicant for? I would like to know, are they going to do a queue? Are they going to require parents to park in a stall?
I think that's a good question for the applicant.
Okay. Other questions for staff?
Yeah, so I understand that, you know, we're reviewing the site plan today, and of course, City Business License Division would issue the business license and oversee that, and the fire marshal would, you know, the number of persons in the building would enforce that. Who would be the regulatory agency for a daycare and or preschool? Would it be the county, the health department, the state, some other division of the city, just for safety and licensure?
It's not the city. I'm pretty sure the applicant would know that as well. I don't know. I think it's either county or state, but it's not the city.
And so that entity would be the ones responsible for enforcing safety, such as fencing of this back play area within, you know, half a block of Redwood Road. They would be the ones enforcing and make sure 3-year-olds can't get out and get onto a 8-lane highway.
They have to have a license to operate their business, so that's Whoever gives them the license. It's probably the state, but I'm not positive.
And then just for probably Jeremy, just you probably addressed this, but it says it's next door to a convenience store. Any issues with pedestrian accessing that shared parking lot to, go get services next door? Or if this was converted from a daycare / preschool to in a more older child setting, any concerns with pedestrian access from this property to the one directly to the east?
No, we don't see concerns with that. There's a sidewalk that they can use. There's a crosswalk in the parking lot that they can use, and they could use that to walk over the Come and Go gas station.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
So, Madam Chair, my question is similar in the sense that if the state is the one that does the licensing for this, maybe I start with this first. Does the Come and Go sell alcohol? Do they have a license to sell alcohol?
I think so.
They sold their own as their own Friday.
Sometimes I think there's proximity requirements next to a school. And then Greg was talking about, is this a school or a daycare? And so would the state be responsible for validating that requirement before issuing the permit? Similar to that, likewise, there are certain proximity requirements for if there are convicted felons in the proximity of certainly schools, it would be that agency or that entity that would be the one that would be figuring out what needs to happen to make whatever code or law consistent. Is that your understanding, or is there anything the city has to do in that space?
I wouldn't know the answer to your two questions. I'm sorry.
Exactly. The city doesn't have anything to do with the licensing of this business. We have something to do with the licensing for the alcohol license at Come and Go, but they're there first, so it's up to the state to determine whether they're going to allow this in that location. So.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right, let's get the questions from public comment answered so that if there's still questions, they can bring them up. So let's talk about lighting and requirements on placement of lighting and shielding, et cetera, on a property like this.
Yes, so I can connect my computer so I can show the lighting plan as well. But their photometric plan, so they show lighting does not go beyond their property lines. Let me see. Does this work for connecting me? Okay. So this is the photometric plan they provided. So the lighting on the perimeter of the lot is nearly or at zero, and lighting intensity is most in the parking areas and around the outside walking spaces of the proposed building. And so this is where the Santorini Village area currently is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can I chime in? Okay, so Miguel, looking at this, I'm assuming the W2EM at 9.5 or whatever, those are where the light placement is. Is that correct? Are those the actual lights around the perimeter?
You're referring to the blue
The
letter.
Dark, like, bolded blue
font.
Yes, is that where the lighting is?
Like yeah, that? So they provided a legend, and then it's my understanding that those are where the different types
of
lighting.
Okay, so can you go back up to that top corner?
Sure.
Kind of over by the playground. So it looks like there's almost no light in the back of that playground. Is that going to be an issue when the sun starts setting at like 4 o'clock and you have kids out there with no lights on the playground?
I'm not sure. Perhaps the applicant can answer that.
Do any other?
Not about this, no.
Okay. I think we're going to need the applicant for the drop-off plan and the queue. I would like to have it on the record, however, that if a queue is used for their drop-off plan and it were to extend onto a public road, what would happen?
Usually when that happens, then we start talking to the business and working with them to not create a hazard, not create a hazard. That's what would happen is we'd work with them to come up with a plan so that they're not queuing onto public streets.
Okay.
However, just from previous items, if they continue to queue and caused a public hazard, those vehicle drivers are subject to citation by public enforcement, correct?
Yeah, that's...
That's what we understood from a previous application.
Previous applications with drive-thrus.
I think it might depend upon where they're queuing. If it's showing no parking, then definitely. But if it's not showing it's no parking, I mean, if one of the residents already said that their people are parking on Imperial Drive, it's a public street, it's public parking. So I don't know how they could be, any enforcement against somebody. Just like in an elementary school, they park all over the place.
If they're stacked on Shields Lane or Redwood Road.
Right. So okay. Definitely. Yeah. I don't know if Shields Lane even shows a no parking. Jeremy, do you know?
I don't know, but I guess my comment is geared towards if they're creating a hazard, that's the action that we would take, and if needed, we would make it no parking.
Right. If there's not already no parking and it becomes a hazard, the city would be the one that would designate that as no parking along Shields Lane or Imperial Drive, whichever. That would mean nobody could park there, which, especially on Shields Lane, would be the most dangerous location, I think. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a queue either, but we could find out which way it would queue. If it queues back to Emporio, if it queues back toward the come and go area. So we'll find out, hopefully.
Okay. Do we have questions for staff, or are we ready for the applicant?
Okay.
All right, one more question for staff.
In our code, are daycares and preschools looked at differently? Are they two different entities?
In the uses section, no, they're not.
Okay.
It listed it in the definition, it lists both at the same time. So.
Okay.
And just because you asked, I want to follow up on that. And just to confirm, because of the time, they are both permitted in this type of zone, and so no conditional use is required. Just want to confirm that for the record.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I have one more frivolous question. Sorry. Okay. It's boggling my mind. So you said there's two addresses because it's a corner lot. Who is that? Why is that? Is it because there's access to two public streets, or that?
It's just every frontage requires an address. So if it's on a corner, if your house is on a corner, it was recorded, the lot was recorded with two addresses. The county, when it does that, the county chooses one before your house is built. And sometimes we have to go into the county, call the county and tell them you chose the wrong one because the house is facing this street. That's the only reason that they're doing it. It's to locate for location purposes for Salt Lake County. So.
But the actual business will just use one, correct?
Right, and they can use either one they want. Okay. And most likely they'll use... I would assume maybe Shields Lane. I know that if Come and Go uses Redwood because it's much more prominent address.
Okay.
So, but I don't know.
But we're not going to have a business using multiple addresses and confusing people.
No, right? They won't do that. They'll use one or the other. So,
okay.
So.
That's all. Okay.
Ms. Morgan, I think we're ready for you. If you would come and state your name and where you reside for the records.
I'm Allison Morgan with Capital Real Estate. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So,
okay.
Good evening, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Thank you for your consideration of our project and for your questions. I have kind of a list here, but you'll have to keep me on task. One that I can certainly answer is maintenance of the right-of-way. I mean, it would be our assumption, since this property was removed from the Santorini zoning as a subsequent development agreement was done, it's possible that the HOA is maintaining that as a matter of practice, but certainly we would expect, and our landscape plan shows the landscape improvements that we're doing, and then that we would be responsible for the right-of-way adjoining both Emporio and Shields. So whether that's documented or not, I'm agreeable to that condition and can expect that to be agreeable to us. This is a daycare facility, not a school with a start and stop time. So we don't have a queuing plan. We don't have a one-way circulation because it functions more like a retail parking lot. So parents are required to escort their kids in for drop-off, badge into the building, sign in, drop-off. Same with picking the kid up at the end of the day. So the parents are going to be parking in a parking stall for that approximate, 10-minute turnover time to retrieve your child, load them into the car seat, and exit. So it's a pulling in and pulling out of the stalls, circulating, the front door will be on the Shields Lane side. So I imagine that the stalls closest to that corner are going to be the most popular. And then depending where you live, I would think most traffic flows to Shields, just since if you're at that front door, to drive up and around the Emporio access point is kind of redundant. So there's that nice shared drive lane across what I'm calling the retail lot, the future lot, to that shared access point with the come and go traffic for access to Shields. So, but it is all two-way, so if someone's coming from work from one direction or if it's a resident of Santorini, they'll be using Emporio. But all of those options are available, which diffuses the concentration of traffic and mitigates any queuing issues.
Can you answer who enforces your business practices overseas?
So my role in the transaction is the developer of the building, and then we lease it to our tenant, who is the actual operator. Okay. So I will be responsible to construct the building in accordance with city requirements for certificate of occupancy, mm-hmm. and then our tenant comes through and they procure the licensing. So I'm not the expert in it, but from working with them, I do think it's the state. And they have a very rigorous inspection process. After I pass the certificate of occupancy inspection process, then state licensing comes through and checks everything, including, yes, play area fencing, kitchen equipment, et cetera. So then they know. The proximity to come and go, I don't anticipate that to be an issue in other municipalities where there's been any sort of radius restriction on the use. It has been a city code thing, or a liquor license thing. So both in our tenants' operational experience, they're very well aware that come and go is there, so they're not concerned. They do operate other schools here in the Salt Lake Metro, so they're familiar with Utah licensing requirements. I'm happy to double check that, make sure we're not making a big mistake here, but I don't believe that there's any restriction on that.
How many employees and children do you anticipate being on site? What's the capacity?
I think that state maximum licensing for this facility would be approximately 160 enrolled students. Now they do age infant to school age, part-time, full-time, any configuration. So it's not expected that 160 children will be there all day together. Staff can range up to 20, I believe, for full capacity. And the staffing fluctuates with the enrollment as well.
So, go ahead.
And I think generally the hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Correct.
Is that Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, or are there more broad hours of operation 24/7?
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
If you had up to 20 staff, would you anticipate you'd have sufficient parking for your drop-off needs?
I do, based on, again, I'm relying on our tenants' operational history. They operate almost 1,000 schools across the country, and they've seen this site plan, and they know what their operational plan is for this location. And with the high rate of turnover of parents coming and going, they do think that that's sufficient parking.
Okay. Have I answered all of the questions that came up for the applicant in public hearing as well as our own questions?
I think I know you said the state licensure with the fencing on the playground, but just the lighting that Commissioner Bevins raised. Are you guys open or address any potential concerns with dark spots at different times of day? Seasonal, when it might be too dark in certain spots, to make sure that those are addressed.
Certainly, the photometric plan showed wall-mounted lights. They do cast a pretty good amount of light. Certainly, if they found it to be dark, I'm not sure if maybe in those winter months they don't go back out to the play area after 4 p.m. It could be, they rotate which classrooms on the play area at which time. The play area is very well designed. There are no blind spots. Everything's fenced and corralled, so no kids can sneak around a corner anywhere. I imagine lighting is taken into consideration in that way as well. But certainly, if there was that concern of the operator, they would want to install additional lighting, and that would probably require some additional city review at that time.
Okay, I want to talk to staff about that one real quick, but I have a couple other questions for you. At our ARC, it looked like there was a gate coming out of the east side of the playground. Yes. I don't see it on here. Correct. Has that been removed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was, we have the project architect who does the detailed play area plan, and we have our civil engineer who does the layout of the parking areas. That was just a miscoordination between the two. There is no gate out of the play area running amok.
Okay. Yep. And then you were talking about access to the building, and it sounds like there's keyed access to the building, so there's no public access. You have to be, carted in, or?
I believe so. There's only the one front door. The one front door that opens into the lobby reception area. It's possible that I'd have to ask. It's possible if that lobby area is open to the public, but then beyond that are restricted areas and keyed.
Okay.
I guess, staff question.
But I think to retrieve your child, there must be a computer system acknowledging that student has left the building. So whether it's an access thing or just a time card kind of system, who's in and who's out, I know that they do use that.
So just to clarify or to make sure, there's just the one entrance. So in the example of a fire, if that exit was blocked, there's no other way to get out.
There's multiple exit doors. Actually, every classroom exits directly into a fenced hallway or sidewalk to get to the play area. They discharge from each classroom so they're not traipsing through the building and disrupting each other. So egress is not an issue. Just in terms of public access through a non-fenced area, there's just the main entry.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Other questions for the applicant?
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morgan.
Okay, thanks.
If anything comes up during public comment, we may need to call on you again. You said you had a staff question ahead of public comment.
I have a staff question.
No,
okay.
Okay, I have a staff question. I don't know for who, but she mentioned that if the operator sees that there's not enough light back there, they will obviously want to install lighting, which obviously, will there be city intervention at that time? Do they have to come to the city to get permission to put additional lights, or can they just put up additional lighting in the back end of that playground without further review?
Probably if they're going to put up additional lighting that's not shown on the plan, it would probably be required to do at least a minor site plan amendment, and that would go through staff for the review of that.
Okay.
If it's Yeah, I don't, you know, especially if it's going to be on a pole, if it was just additional lighting or something on the building, I don't know if we'd even notice if they did it without us. But if we saw a light post out there, that would probably, you know, we probably would need that, because that has more potential of shining onto neighboring properties. So,
okay.
And that process is fairly quick for them to do that, to submit the application, and usually within a week we'll have that finished and reviewed. So.
Okay, are we ready for public comment? Okay, at this time we'd like to open up this item to public comment. Same directions as before, state your name and where you reside for our records. You have 3 minutes. If there are questions, we'll get them answered by the applicant or staff.
I had spoken to you earlier. A big concern of ours. I'm sorry.
Will you still state your name and where you reside?
I'm sorry, Jana Nielsen, 1797 West E. Carlos Lane, South Jordan, Utah. Okay. We were concerned about the amount of traffic going through Santorini Village, because Emporio Drive hooks up to Santorini Drive, which takes. Which will take you either around the subdivision or it will take you over to Redwood Road. And we were concerned with a lot of traffic going through that area.
Okay.
And, you know, and parking is another big thing with that, because there are a lot of residents that park on the street on, not Emporio, but on Santorini. So, and then there's lanes through there that are just for the garages. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's for the townhouse part.
Okay. Others in the auditorium that would like to speak to this item? Anybody? Okay. We'll go to our Zoom. If you would like to address the commission on this item, we just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. All right, Ms. Fairclough, the floor is yours. Just make sure you've unmuted yourself and state your name and where you reside.
Hi, my name is Cassandra Fairclough, and I live in Santorini Village at 1828 Icarus Lane. So I'm at the corner of Imperial and Icarus Lane. And since Come and Go has come in, I have noticed an increase in traffic, and I am concerned again with the increased traffic. There is a stop sign at the corner of Emporio and Santorini that I see people run all the time, and there are children everywhere. And so I'm concerned about the increased, you know, people coming into the, you know, into the community. And I noticed the other day as I went into Come and Go that they have blocked their access currently to Redwood Road. I don't know if that's going to change or not. So in my opinion, that's increasing the traffic that comes into our community. And so I would, you know, even though they talked about there's no drop off, you know, times for the proposed academy, there are often times that in the morning when I go to leave for work already, and I have to wait for people on Emporio to make a left-hand turn. So, and then I have to make a left-hand turn as well on Shields. So it already is a concern for me, and I'm assuming others in the community, but I just wanted to voice my concerns with the traffic that has already improved or increased with the Come and Go, and my concerns with it, you know, with the new proposed academy.
Thank you, Ms. Fairclough. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item online or in person?
Again, I'm Lisa Hunt. I live at Santorini Village, 9711 South Zachary Lane. So Cassandra brought up a really good question. What are the procedures that you follow to put speed bumps on a public road? Thank you.
All right, anybody else wanting to address the commission for this item? All right, I'm going to close public comment then, and let's get these concerns answered. Jeremy, I think you're up. Let's talk about the traffic and the parking concerns. Do you happen to have grades for Imperio or Santorini? Is there even enough data to have I always use the word grade, and that's confusing. Sorry, a rating?
Yeah, I was just looking at that. We did traffic counts on Santorini Drive, and these are a little bit old. This is pre-come and go. This is 2018. I'm just clicking to make sure I'm looking at the latest. Yeah, 2018 is our latest that we did counts on Santorini Drive, and at that time it was a level of service B with about 400 vehicles per day, which is really good for a residential street. I totally understand that there's traffic, but from kind of a citywide perspective, that's pretty light.
Okay. This is a really hard question that you might not know the answer to. I live near Santorini. I'm very familiar with the area. My children have friends in that neighborhood. Are the lanes marked? When I'm there, it's obvious what are lanes and what aren't, but I, for the life of me, cannot recall if they're actually marked, like a private lane, do not enter, or local access only. I think it's pretty obvious you'd have to turn around, but...
Are you referring to the alleyways?
Yeah, the alleyways, I'm sorry.
Usually they're not really marked. Usually they're marked with the blue street coordinate sign. You know, if it's a private lane, usually we don't put signage like saying now since it's private, the private owner could put a sign up saying, you know, whatever they want, local access only. Since it's not city controlled, they could post a sign like that.
Can't follow up on that. So, but Santorini and Emporio are both public roads.
And let me get back to that. Santorini Drive and Emporio are both public, and we did counts on Imperio as well. These are from 2017, so they are quite old. But at that time, Imperio did have a little bit more traffic, about 600 vehicles per day, which would still put it at a level of service B.
And just to confirm, because they are both public roads, they are completely open to anybody who would like to travel them because they are owned by the city, the residents. And so unless the city were to vacate them and a private HOA were to take ownership, that was the only way that the city could enforce some sort of restriction of access, correct? Other than traffic calming measures or parking restrictions as well, because they are public roads.
Yeah, that's all I'm aware of, correct, Commissioner?
Thank you.
What is the procedure for getting a speed bump on a public road if you have concerns?
That's a tricky question. So if you have concerns, if there's concerns about speeding, then I can certainly do a speed study, and the traffic committee will analyze that. And you know, if there's speeding issues, then they'll make recommendations for what measures the city could take. As far as speed bumps specifically, that's not one of the traffic calming measures that the city does. We stopped doing that back in the 90s for a number of reasons. One of them being liability, you know, vehicles getting damaged on speed bumps, and a lot of other, there's a whole list, a policy that is in place on that. But if there's speeding concerns, then I can do a speed study, and based on the comments tonight, I will be updating those counts and looking at the traffic volumes and the speeds on both those roads.
What about the concerns with the stop sign at Imperio and Santorini? Is that also something that the city can at least monitor?
Good question. That is a citywide problem on any low-volume local street. Drivers disregard stop signs. We've done quite a few counts in subdivisions, and on the average, I mean, this is terrible, but about 20% of drivers completely ignore stop signs in on residential streets, which is a lot higher than what you would expect, but that's the number that keeps coming back when we put a camera on it and we actually do a, you know, actually watch drivers' behavior. So it's a citywide problem. It's an enforcement issue. The police try to keep tabs on it, but they can't be at every intersection.
Maybe they can add this location to one of their 10 for 10 initiatives.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I think 10 locations for like 10 days. I think that's...
Oh, having higher visibility.
Higher visibility, so maybe...
Okay.
Again, if the council's listening, hopefully they can recommend that, give direction to the city staff to...
Can you comment on the Come and Go's Redwood Road access being blocked? I assume that must be temporary.
I would assume that as well. I was not aware of that, so I'll need to look into that because they do need that access.
Okay, and I can, from personal experience, tell you that Mr. Nielsen will follow up on that. I had a complaint with a construction site recently not allowing traffic through, and he had a response to me the next day that...
I have personally witnessed, I think, the reasoning why, though, is because vehicles moving northbound on Redwood Road are trying to cross over and access off the Redwood access into the Come and Go.
Like a left-hand turn across
left-hand
three
turn
lanes?
Across, yes, multiple lanes. So I would, yeah, it'd be nice to find out if that's the confirmation, the reason why, which would be great. It's great if it's set the reason why, but we might need to look at other types of ways to prevent that type of activity.
So can I just give you the latest update on that?
You bet.
having filled up at Come and Go this morning, at that time, you could make a right-hand turn off of Redwood Road into the Come and Go. If you wanted to make a right-hand turn out of Come and Go on directly onto Redwood, that was still blocked. I don't know why. I don't know if they're having a UDOT permit issue or what, but at least you can access off Redwood Road into the Come and Go as of this morning.
Interesting. Jeremy, are you on it?
Yeah. Yes, I'll look into that.
Okay.
I have a question for Jeremy.
You bet.
You're done. Yep. Okay. Jeremy, do we know how close... Well, that's not a fun echo. Sorry. Nobody likes to hear their own voice. How close is the access on Shields Lane to Redwood coming out of that Come and Go?
Is it?
It is. I don't go by there.
I couldn't tell you the distance, though.
Give me just one second. I can give you a rough idea on that. It's about 280 feet, roughly.
Okay. Football field.
And that gives plenty of room for right turn off of Redwood to kind of merge into traffic before you hit that access?
If I believe right, it's also two lanes till a little further past that, isn't that correct?
Yeah. There are two lanes for a short stretch there, yeah.
But do the two lanes go past the access point?
No, it quickly kind of merges into one right around where that access is. So that two-lane section stays for about 250 feet-ish.
Okay, so it just gives plenty of room for right turners to come in and merge in before. Okay.
Yeah.
That answers
your question. I don't see my bigger concern is issues with left turns in the future, you know, potentially coming out of that Come and Go. You know, that's something we'll watch as traffic continues to climb in the city. Okay.
Jeremy, on the north-south access into the village, the distance between that road and Redwood Road, would that allow for a light in the future if it was a failing intersection or a low enough rating?
Between Redwood and Emporio?
I think he means Redwood and Santorini.
Santorini.
Oh, on Redwood. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what, two blocks?
Is Santorini the one that goes...
Yeah, it comes out to Redwood.
Comes out to Redwood.
Not the one... Well,
Emporio
I was,
comes out to Shields.
I was thinking out to Shields...
Okay, so
that's
Emporio.
Why I said north-south. I'd be interested in Santorini as well, but I think most
reasons that someone might go around and in the village for Santorini would be to go south to make a right. And that feels like it's easy to do outside the come and go. And with the two lanes, you should be able to make a left-hand lane. And that's why I was saying if it got backed up enough on Imperio and we were seen queuing, could we do would there be enough distance for a light or other traffic management device?
That's a good question. With the distance, it would be a concern. It would be concerning to put in a traffic signal there, and that's definitely, we would try to avoid that, try to avoid putting in a traffic signal there. I don't foresee the traffic volumes high enough on that road to ever warrant a traffic signal. And so it's not on our radar.
Okay. And the main reason I ask is because of that shared access, and if one becomes bottlenecked, it really is only the one other major entry or exit point. Okay, thank you.
Can I ask one more on the road? So the residents brought up the parking on the road currently on both sides of the road. By doing that, there aren't any concerns with fire access, emergency vehicle access, accessing the HOA by having cars on both sides of the street. The road is still wide enough to accommodate emergency vehicles, garbage collection, city services. I'm assuming the answer would be yes, because
it sounds like it's already that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, Commissioner, and there's pockets, there's kind of pockets for parking along Santorini Drive, and the road width is, it's at least as wide as Daybreak, if not a little bit wider, and that's not including the additional width for the parking pockets that they have in that development.
Any other questions or discussion that needs to happen on this item? I am pleased to see that it is a park, get out, take your child in. I think queues are hard. That to me is a positive. But I think that's the only comment I had on this item. Anything, Commissioner Bevins? Cat Mullen?
Feels like a net positive increase to the city and that area. And I appreciate the residents for coming and voicing your concerns, and hopefully you've gotten enough information to help address a lot of those concerns and realize that a lot of concerns can be dealt with after the fact if they do come up, and that we have many tools to make it a balanced success for everyone here. And that's what I personally love to see, is kind of progression forward and in a balanced way that protects residents and enables commercial development and other forms of development. So thank you.
Excuse me, one moment, Commissioner. Sorry to interrupt, but
you're going to change everything, aren't you?
Just wanted to provide my name's Jeremy Nielsen, so the residents could contact me. I will be doing a speed study, and they're welcome to contact me and get a copy of that speed study. So just wanted to give them my name.
And it's 1-800-401-446-HELP, right? And then they can ask for your name.
Yeah. Call City Hall and just ask for me.
That was actually part of my closing comment was...
I apologize.
You know, I think this is a good fit for this area, a need that the city needs as we continue to grow and people return back to work. It's a good area for that. I understand that the residents who live there, you know, things aren't going to be as quiet as they were in the past. There's a few challenges with continued growth, but city staff is very responsive to addressing those. And, you know, luckily Jeremy stole the rest of my thunder by giving his information. So, and I know public, police and fire will be responsive as well to address any needs, especially if citizens make repeated recommendations, I won't say complaints, but tips to them to inspect and staff that, they'll do that. So I think this is a good fit, and I'm in favor of moving forward with this item.
I just wanted to add one comment to what Commissioner Catmull said. We do appreciate when citizens come out and participate in this process. It helps us understand areas better and what the concerns are so that we can hopefully make better decisions, make sure things get mitigated. But I'd also like to thank Ms. Morgan for coming as well. It helps us immensely when the applicant is present so that they can answer some of these questions. Sometimes it clears up confusion, and sometimes it allows us to broker a mediation between citizens and applicants. So thank you for that as well. And with that said, I think I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make the motion. Make sure I'm on the right one. Back and forth. Okay. Based on the discussion tonight, I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan application file number PLSPR20230037 with the condition of the cross-access easement to allow for construction of a daycare center in the CN zone at 1720 West Shields Lane.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I said my only question on that is this address, we don't know if that's the address they use.
Do we want to include both addresses?
Or can we add the word generally located?
Does it matter?
Do we need that address in this?
They might go to that address and...
It's not going to be the address in the future. We already know that because it's going to have a subdivision. But we know that that's currently the address of the parcel itself in its current condition. So I don't know if it's going to... We don't know what the address will be in the future, which one they're going to use. So it's probably best to use the current address of the current parcel.
Okay. My other one is, do we need to address the park strip maintenance or no?
Oh, good question.
Well, not necessarily, because it can't be necessarily a condition of approval, because if it's being maintained, whoever it's required to be maintained by needs to do it.
Okay.
We can't force them through, because it's not a detrimental effect if it's not their responsibility in the first place. But the applicant did say that they fully intend to, and it's on record that they intend to maintain that park strip and all the landscaping on site, and because they are changing it, they're changing the landscaping in the park strip as well, adding things to it. So I don't think it's necessarily.
I'm happy. Sounds good.
I'm happy. Okay, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kettman?
Aye.
Okay, this item also passes 4-0. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. We don't have any legislative public hearings this evening. Other business staff? Besides, we'll see you in a month.
In a month.
Okay. So, I guess happy 24th in the meantime.
That's true. July's one planning commission and one city council. That's all that happens in July.
And everyone's happy. So... All right.
Sort of happy, I guess.
I'm always happy. Oh. All right. Commissioners, any further discussion? Thank you for your participation tonight. All right. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. See ya.